I'd like to greet you all. A warm welcome to the house of the Lord. And may each one of us this morning find the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Brethren, friends, and children, if the Lord permits, we will close the year 2007 in less than 48 hours. And we will be entering into another year, if the Lord so will. Our meditation for this whole month of December has been on the theme of praise and thanksgiving, in gratitude to God for His great mercy, His love, and His manifold blessings. I suggested that we should each set aside time in reflection, in sober pondering of God's grace and goodness upon each one of us throughout this year. And particularly for us, members of this church, believers, that we ought to evaluate and consider our personal walk with the Lord before we rush into another year. As I'm speaking, the closing of this year is getting closer. And so before we step into the new year, I thought it good that we should prepare ourselves, at least get some kind of preparation of the mind, of the heart, with the help of God's Word, and in much prayer, before we go into the new year. I'm not just talking about making some resolution here and there, and hopefully we can, as the days goes by, we can meet what we have set out to do. But I'm suggesting that we look into Scripture to find encouragement that will help us to move forward and to lay aside all our failures, all the besetting sin, especially those things that so easily hinder us in our walk with the Lord, that will hamper our going forth into the new year. Please turn your Bible back to Hebrews chapter 12. The text that I propose we consider this morning will give us an encouragement which we all need, and that will help us, compel us to go forward just like the Lord commanded Moses and the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14 verse 15, saying, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And so our text reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And let us look at verse 3 also. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Here we are given firstly the encouragement to go forward and not to let any spiritual setbacks to hinder us from going forward in our Christian race or in this pilgrim journey that you and I as believers are called to. Secondly, we are exhorted to go forward. We are told, or we are given the means to keep running this Christian race First, to lay aside every weight and particularly besetting sins. And next, to run with patience. Furthermore, we are told not to run all over the place without direction, but we are instructed to look unto Jesus, to set our sight on the Lord Jesus before and during the race. We are not to look everywhere, anywhere else. We are not to look at our neighbors when we run, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, before you and I start running and while we continue to run. Thirdly, we are given the reason why we should keep going forward or keep running this Christian race while looking unto Jesus. That the reason is the Lord Jesus himself. He had run his race and finished the course which God has set forth for him. Those of us who are the blood-bought children of God has every reason to keep running. To keep running this race, to continue this pilgrim journey. We will eventually, by the help of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I, those who are in the Lord, we will finish the race in victory. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he had finished his race in our place through the work of his cross, through the work on the cross. And he promised each one of us his grace and the power through the Holy Spirit to finish our individual race. The promise given to us in Philippians 1:6. This is what it says. He which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We shall first consider the encouragement to run this race. The writer of the book of Hebrews in verse 1 directs our attention to a group of people in chapter 11, which we have just read just now, whom he described here as a cloud of witnesses. This group of people were believers whose life, whose work, whose suffering, death testified to us that they had ran the race, they have kept the course and finished the race in victory. And so we are to consider them. We are to think of them. We are to look at them. How they had ran the race with perseverance. And they have won for themselves the crown of righteousness. They are our encouragement. And they are our inspiration to run our individual race. Those of us who are believers, we are portrayed like an athlete. And our lives are likened unto running a race. What this suggests to us is that a Christian or a believer is called to a life of self-denial. A life of discipline, a life of vigorous exertion, a life of persevering endurance. We need to run our race with persevering faith, brethren, for our reward is an imperishable crown. That is what we are running for. It is not a life as a civilian we are called to, minding our own business, but a life as a Christian soldier, carrying out the orders of our chief commander, the Lord Jesus. We are called, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to a spiritual warfare. The warfare of our sinful nature, the warfare against the world, the warfare against the evil one. These three are our main enemies. During this whole year, I am very sure many of us Christians, you are bruised, you are hurt by many spiritual failures and setbacks. We find ourselves easily weighed down by many besetting sins, and we grow weary, tired. Perhaps some of us are so weary that we want to give up. But here in verse 1, we are reminded of those who went before us, who walked in faith in time past, I want to bring out to us this. They are no different from us. They are men and women subject to like passions as we are, as weak as water. Yet they kept the faith. For those saints, those who went before us, they under the Old Testament dispensation, they fixed their eyes on the Lord Jesus, their coming Messiah. For us, the New Testament Christians, we must likewise follow this crowd of witnesses. We are also to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, who came and ran the race and finished the work which he was called to. The race which we are called to run is not one which is impossible. Friends, brothers and sisters, it is possible to run this race. The journey that we are called to travel as pilgrim is not one that will never end. It will end. Both the race and the journey have been completed by those saints who ran before us, who traveled the journey before us. They point us to the Lord Jesus. I want to stress this, brothers and sisters. These are saints not without sin, not without weaknesses, not without failures. They fail. They sin against God. But they point us to Christ. By the power and faithfulness of God, they finish the race. And we are to learn from them. Learn from their mistakes. So that we will not walk into the pitfalls that they went through. We are to learn from them. Nevertheless, we must note that by faith they rest upon God's promises. And so we are told how Noah by faith built an ark. Abraham by faith separated from his idolatrous neighbors and gained a rich inheritance. Moses by faith forsook Egypt and became a leader of the Israelites' host. By faith the Red Sea was crossed. Jericho was captured. Goliath was defeated. The mouths of lions were closed. And the violence of fire quenched. All these men and women are witnesses whose life as believers attests their own faith. They are our encouragement to go forward. They are, as it were, cheering us on in our race. And so, brothers and sisters, before we step into the new year, let us be reminded, let us be encouraged that this race that we are called to, yes, it is not an easy one, but it is possible to run this race and finish in victory because we have these witnesses before us. They are our encouragement to move forward into the new year. Secondly, we are given the means to run this race successfully. We are given instruction how to run. To participate in the race is not very difficult. Many have come to the Lord Jesus and had promised him that they will run. They will run the race with him. They will keep the course. But the things of this life and the attraction of the world have so often not only hindered them in their running, but they eventually went back to the world and dropped out of the race altogether. Others have come through the door of this church and have likewise they promised the Lord too to run this race with him. They say that they will keep the course. They want to fight the good fight of faith. But they too, when differences arise, when misunderstanding and disagreement surface, they too left the race. Disillusioned, they went back to the world, never to run this race again. What about us? Are you weary, fainting in your minds and deciding that you have enough? Well, with the encouragement of so great a cloud of witnesses, let us persevere like them. Keep our heads up and run. Keep running. Did you notice there the two words in the middle of verse 1? Look at it again. Let us. Let us. We are not running this race alone, brothers and sisters in Christ, friends and children. There are others running with us. We are not alone in this race. Just like the great cloud of witnesses who ran the race set before them, so let us also run the race set before us. We are running the race together, brothers and sisters, members of this church. As we are running together, the leaders and the members of this church, we are running this race together. And though each of us have our own race to run, yet at the same time, we are running the race as a body of Christ. So be encouraged. You are not alone. And at this juncture here, we are not only told that the Christians are running the race together, we are also told firstly what? To lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. What is this? What this verse is teaching us is that we believers, those of you who profess or confess that you are Christians, we have to continue to do what the Apostle Paul describes to us in Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. He says that he put off concerning the former conversation, meaning to say your sinful conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, we are to modify our deeds. We are to continue to modify our deeds. According to Romans 8:13, we are to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, as instructed by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:11. We cannot run the race successfully and hope to end in victory if we are not willing to give up our sins, to give up the things of this world that so easily tie us down, hinder us, and draw us away from keeping our sight on the Lord Jesus. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and we will become unfruitful. Mark 4:19. And anything, even things that are not necessarily sin, those things too can come between us and God. Our study, our work, our career, our leisure, our interests, our books, our toys, our hobbies, all these things may not necessarily be sinful. Yet if we do not watch out, if we are not careful, if we do not watch unto prayer, brothers and sisters, these things too can easily be used by Satan to come between us and God. And that will hinder us, and that will hamper us in our going forward and running the race and keeping the course. We ought to watch. It is so easy. I know Christmas season is still around the corner. Shopping is still around the corner. And we all of us, perhaps some of us, are waiting right now for the year-end sale. Watch. Be sober. Our life is not consisting of shopping only. There are things far more important. Things that matters to us for eternity. Each one of us has to decide. You and I, we have to decide for ourselves by an honest searching of Scripture and by an earnest seeking of the Lord in prayer. What are your weights? What are my weights? You have to decide. What are your weights and what are the sin which doth so easily beset you and that will hinder you. You have to seek the mind of the Lord before you step into the new year. You have to decide for yourself, with the help of Scripture, in the light of God's Word, which one you have to give up. No man can serve two masters. No man can love the world, love money, and love the Lord. You either hate one or love the other. There is a cost, there is a price to pay for discipleship. The second means, we are told, in order to run the race successfully, is to run with patience. This Christian race that we are called to run is not one that will present you with the first prize if you come in first. It is a race for those who will persevere to the end and faithfully finish the course. It is not a race for the fastest, but a race for the faithful. A race for the faithful who will run with patience. The word patient here in this context means enduring, sustaining, perseverance. Therefore, if we are to run this race successfully, we need to firstly lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and to run this race with endurance. To endure like a good soldier. And that's what Paul tells us, isn't it? To keep the pace, to persevere to the end. It is faithfulness that counts, and not who is the fastest. It is faithfulness that counts, and not finishing first that matters. Brothers and sisters, friends and children, the race, the journey before us in the new year will be long. Will be long. It is not a 100-meter dash. For some of us, it could be longer. For some of us, it could be shorter. But whatever the distance, friends, brothers and sisters, we have the encouragement of the saints who ran before us. We have the instruction here how to run this race, to travel this pilgrim journey, and to reach and receive this imperishable reward. First of all, to lay aside all our sins, all the things of this life that easily beset us. Let us with patience run. And then lastly, we are told in verse 2, to keep our sight on the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This leads us to our third point, and that is why believers are called to run this race. The answer to this question, please look again to our text in the second part of verse 2 of Hebrews 12, and also in verse 3. Those two verses there tells us this, that the Lord Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. I mentioned earlier that we are to look unto Jesus before and during the race. We are not to look to anyone else. We cannot look to others or look for others to run the race for us. We should not turn to the left or to the right while running. To keep the course and to run the race, the straight and narrow path, you and I have to stay focused. Our focus must always be on the Lord Jesus. Not on the pastors, not on the preachers, not on the leaders of the church, not on your friends or your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to focus and look unto Jesus. And the reason, as I said before, is simple. Because the Lord Jesus had run the race himself, and he had successfully completed the race, and that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despising the shame, he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. and overcame all this and much more. And he finished the race. In other words, the Lord Jesus is our example. And not only our example, he is our leader in this race. We are looking at him. He is leading us in running this race. And therefore we ought to look at him. For those of you who have participated in sports, in running, you will notice that when you run, you have to keep to your lane, isn't it? You are not supposed to run into your opponent's lane. You are to keep running within that lane designated for you. And so it is for us. If we look left and right, you are sure to go off course. And therefore we have to look unto Jesus. Not look at man, but look unto Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, was willing. For the joy that was set before him, our Lord Jesus was willing to go to Calvary. He was willing to patiently bear the humiliation and the suffering on the cross for you and me, at the hands of wicked men and women. He was willing to forsake the glories of his heavenly throne for you and me, to come down to this sinful world, to be our sin bearer. He who knew no sin became our sin bearer. He set out to do that for us. Not because of how good we are. Not because he sees in us that in the future we will become good. But he was willing to bear all that for the joy that was set before him. And so when we consider our own sufferings, brothers and sisters, when we feel discouraged, when our service in the church is not appreciated, is not recognized, when we go through some of these difficulties, some of these troubles in life, and when we find our journey and our race hard going, think of what the Lord Jesus went through. Consider him first. He is willing, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, the shame, the suffering, the pain. His own disciples left him. His own received him not. What is our suffering? What is all this trivial, simple, straightforward misunderstanding, troubles, difficulties? Are we not willing to bear with all this what the Lord Jesus has bear for us? Is it not because of our pride that oftentimes we are not willing to budge? Why must I forgive you first? Why don't you forgive me? Why must I let go? Why don't you let go? Friends, brothers and sisters, that is why I deliberately put in this article for your reading, adapted from Pastor J.J. Lim. Before we step into the new year, put aside all this misunderstanding, all this unforgiving spirit, all this whatever you want to call it that is happening around us, perhaps in your office, at your home, in your school. Put all this aside before we step into the new year. If you and I are to run the race successfully, faithfully reaching the end, we have to put aside all the sin so easily beset us. We have to run this patiently. And you have to consider for yourself. Do not look at the preachers. Do not look at your pastors. Do not look at the family members or anyone else. Look unto the Lord Jesus. And we will never go off course. If we keep our sight on him, we will never go off course. We will go astray when we take our sight off him and put our sight on man. And that's where we will go wrong. Paul's exhortation to us, to those of us who are tired, to those of us who are thinking of giving up, to those of us who are thinking of stepping down the next year and you do not want to serve any longer, because you are tired, you have enough. So those of us who are thinking of changing church because of some misunderstanding with someone and you want to give up the fight, to those of us who want to walk out and no longer want to serve the Lord, this is Paul's injunction to each one of us who are in this category. Turn to Philippians 2, verse 5 to 13. It's a long passage, but let me read to you. This is the injunction for us, for those of us who are weary, tired in the mind, you don't want to fight any longer. Turn to Philippians 2, verses 5 to 13. Let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind of Christ. Again, look unto Jesus. The mind of Christ, which was also in Christ. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. What is our pride? What is there to boast for us? God, the Lord Jesus, is willing to leave heaven's glory to give up all that glory for you and me sinners, undeserving sinners. What pride, what do we have to boast about? Why should we hold on to our pride? Took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Can we not do that? God is willing to humble himself, condescend to this sinful world, to live among us. And as I described before, it's just like someone dressed in white coming right now and dive him or herself into a heap of rubbish, smelly and stinking rubbish, just to give a glimpse of what it is like for God to come down into a sinful world. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, listen to this, pay attention here, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Brethren, friends and children, we have no reason, we have no excuse not to continue in this Christian race and this pilgrim journey we are called to. We have before us the encouragement of so great a crowd of witnesses. We are given the means to run this race. And furthermore, before we run, and during our running, we have the Lord Jesus who is leading us in the race. And he set us an example. And furthermore, we are told in other parts of Scripture, I want to impress this upon us, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 to 6, the Lord Jesus not only is our example, he's not only leading us in the race, and we are to look to him. He says in chapter 13 of Hebrews, verses 5 to 6, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord Jesus is personally, brothers and sisters in Christ, he is personally leading us in this race, in this running. Through this Holy Spirit, he has given us his Holy Spirit, our comforter. What more do we need? What excuse do we have not to run? Why should we give up so easily? Just because of some tiredness and weariness, disappointment, hurdles that we have to cross, obstacles perhaps, pain and suffering. What is our pain and suffering? What is our humiliation and the ingratitude that we receive from our brothers and sisters in Christ when we render our service to God and we are not recognized? What is that as compared to Christ's suffering? Is he not our perfect example? Do you and I think of God before he come and save us? Do you seek God? Do you seek for salvation yourself? It is God who seeks us out, isn't it? And so what is that to us? To endure some unappreciation from our brothers and sisters or for others? What is that quarreling? What is that compared to what Christ has done for us? Do you have any reason to give up? Do you have any reason to walk out? No. You and I have no sufficient reason to do that. Therefore, we can go forward. Therefore, if the Lord willing, you and I can step into 2008 with confidence, if he so permits us. Because he promised us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your friends, your family members, your wife, your husband, your whoever close to you, they may fail us, and they will fail us, but not the Lord Jesus, not our Savior. He is with us all the way. And now, in closing, a word for those who are still seeking, to those who are trusting in your own self, your own strength, for those who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I have this to say to you. You are running a different race from the Christian. You are not running a race as we are running, the believers. You are running after the world. Yes, you may deny. You are running after the wealth of this world. Yes, again, you may deny. You say, no, it's part and parcel of my living. Oh, yeah. You are running after the qualification of this world that will temporarily put you up in the echelon of society, on the pedestal of your career. Yes, you may gain that, but that will not last. You are running a different race. You are running all over the place because you do not have the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Therefore, you can deny all you want, but yet you are still running off course. You are running towards a destination that you know not where and how it will end. But for us who are Christian, we are running a race, focusing our sight on the Lord Jesus, and he promised that we will reach heaven's shore. That is our assurance. By faith, we believe in that. You may ask me to prove it. My proof is in the Word of God. That is all I can say to you. That is my proof. By faith, I believe what the Lord Jesus has spoken and what he has promised. Those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to run this race, and we will run it, and we will persevere to the end by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. We will finish, because he which began the good work in us will finish it to the end. It is not us, it is Christ. It is God who promised that he will support us all the way, and he will personally lead us in this race. So those of you who are still pursuing your career, which is not wrong, as I said, not necessarily sinful, don't get me wrong. In fact, believers, as I said before, you ought to do well and excel in your study, in your work, in whatever your hand finds up to do. Do all with your might. That is the preaching, that is the teaching of the God's word. I'm not saying that therefore as Christian we relax and wait for the day of heaven. No, you are to excel and do your utmost best. But our objective of doing well is not to gain more money so that we become CEOs of a company, but for the glory of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is what the Christians are called to run and do. But then, for those who are still running and pursuing the world, I want to say this to you. To what profit? To what end? Do you know? Do you know to what end? Is it just for that place in society? Just for that name that you are, you know, you can print it on your name card and then people calling on your title and you feel so great about it? Is that all? Does that really profit you in the end? With all the wealth, with all the money, with all the status, with all the big house, nice car? Is that all? Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? What shall it profit you? Friends, you can gain the whole world. You can sit at the topmost seat in society. What shall it bring you at the end if you lose your own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you exchange? Your title? Your wealth? Do you think your money can buy you eternal life? You think all your titles as CEO, managers, big time businessman, billionaire perhaps, number one chef in the world, all that will buy you salvation? What can you exchange with that? Nothing. Nothing at all. Therefore, consider very carefully. The year ahead for you and me may or may not be fraught with pains, sufferings, disappointment, setbacks. We do not know what is ahead. But praise and thank be to God for those of us who are in Christ. We can confidently step into the next year, if God willing, knowing that He is with us. And seeing that we have so great a cloud of witnesses before us, as it were, not literally, but cheering us on. Therefore, you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever suffering, whatever your problem, whatever your difficulties, don't give up. It's not the end yet. The end is nearing. Yes, the end is nearing. But we still have to run the race. And therefore, I encourage us, all of us, as a church, united in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us run. Let us put aside all this besetting sin. Let us mortify our deeds. Let us pray for one another. Let us support one another. Encourage one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another of the wrong that others may have done to us. Put aside all this. And let us unite ourselves as believers, as one body in Christ, move forward so that we can advance God's kingdom. Yes, we may be small in numbers, but the Lord promised to be with us. And therefore we can, and we should, step into the new year by His enabling, if we diligently seek Him. Our Lord is no debtor. Those who diligently seek Him, He is our rewarder, and He promised to lead us to the end of our race. And at the end, when we reach the finishing line, we can look forward to that greeting that we will receive from our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for so great a promise. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that You have spoken. And we ask that, Lord, You will help us to take heed, that each of us will examine ourselves in the light of Scripture, and that we may prayerfully seek Thee and prepare ourselves before we step into the new year, if You so will. Father, we pray that Your mighty Spirit will bring to remembrance of Your goodness and mercy upon us during this whole year. Help us not to be ungrateful people, but help us to be thankful. Help us, O Lord, to remember even the little blessings that we have received. Help us not to take all this for granted, but to acknowledge that all this cometh from Thee. O Lord, even for the pain and sorrow, even for the suffering, even for the trials, even for sicknesses, illnesses, and diseases. Indeed, Lord, we can echo the words of the psalmist. It is good that I have been afflicted, that I may know the statutes of the Lord. O Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art such a wonderful and a merciful and compassionate God towards us. Help us, we pray, in return to render unto You our worship, our devotion, and to love Thee indeed with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. O Lord, let us not enter into the new year unprepared, not willing to give up our sin. O Father, we pray that Your mighty Spirit will humble us, that we will move forward with You going before us and with us. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.